Well, good morning, everyone. One of my favorite referrals is potluck. You know, what potluck means, somebody's bringing food in a pot and good luck. Because you have no idea what's in it. So that's what potluck is actually classified as. We have another announcement I just want to go over, and John can correct me if I don't have all the details correctly. The third week in February, we will be meeting in the afternoon. That's 19th? February 19th. And we do have a social activity the next day. That evening. Okay, I'm sorry. That evening there will be a social activity. That's why we're meeting in the afternoon. The time will probably be 2:30 on the 19th. So you just want to make that in your notes and remind you to put it on your calendar that we'll be meeting at 2:30. If you show up at 10:30 or 11, you'll be early. But that's fine. You can stick around, fellowship. Maybe nobody else, but you're welcome to come early. But again, we just wanted to remind you about that. So it's a paintball. Paintball the next day, so actually it's double activity. So a lot of things happening in the next couple weeks, so keep that in mind. Well, this year marks the 235th anniversary of the founding of our nation. It's hard to believe, isn't it? 235 years, this July 4th, founded in 1776, the founding of our nation. And when we consider our nation and what it was founded and based upon, it's encouraging, and yet it can also be discouraging, because we were founded on principles of godliness, which was very encouraging. The forefathers founded our nation on godly principles. But as the years have progressed, and fortunately the nation has continued to rise in power and in blessings from the great God that we serve, it was because of obedience. And that was the blessings that our nation has received. But as the continuation of years gone by, we realized that our nation slowly turned from the great God that it served. And now we're a multitude of nations in one nation. Now you think about a multitude of nations in one nation. And today I wanted to talk about the decline and fall of nations. Now, I'm not saying that we're going to decline and fall tonight, but I want to talk about some of the nations in the Bible that declined and they fell, and what were some of the characteristics of why they fell. And is the United States of America, one of the greatest nations ever formed, slowly declining and eventually will fall? These are some of the prophetic predictions that have been made in the Bible. And we can often wonder, when is that going to take place? When will these events take place? When will prophecy be fulfilled? Well, some of the information I'm going to use today is from an article from Gary Petty. I have a lot of admiration for Mr. Petty. He writes for the Beyond Today program. He is part of the broadcasting. And he talks about the decline and fall of nations. So I'm going to use some of his materials because I think it's very beneficial for us to learn what our nation is going through. It's very serious, because living in the freedoms that this nation was founded on are slowly being eroded away. We will find that as time progresses, the freedom of religion, to keep the Sabbath, that we enjoy so very much, will one day be challenging. When we have individuals coming and approaching us about keeping the Sabbath, and we will find perhaps even within our own nation we will be persecuted. It's hard to believe. A nation that was founded on freedoms that our forefathers told us years and years ago, 235 years, that we would have the freedom of religion, can suddenly be taken away. But that's what's going to happen as the nation progresses. Well, Harvard's historian Noel Ferguson, okay, she writes in the March and April edition of the Foreign Affairs magazine. Now, this was this year of March, I'm sorry, of last year. This is 2011, so I have to correct myself there. 2010, March and April issue of the Foreign Affairs magazine presents an analysis of how empires can quickly collapse through chaos. I find this a very interesting article, and I'm going to refer to some of this article. Rather than a slow decline over centuries, now people say, well, wow, we have 235 years. Isn't that a slow decline? Well, in some ways that's correct. But Ferguson shows that many large nations of the past were gone in a very few short years. And that's hard to believe. Nations that rise and fall can suddenly decline in a very few short years. While seemingly strong and visible, these nations were very strong. They were very powerful nations. And they were very visual. They faded, and virtually overnight, they disappeared, many of them, through captivity. Conventional wisdom assumes that the economic challenges in America, its global dominance, are long threatened. So even today, we're looking at America's long-term global effects. They are now being considered threatening. It is pointed out, for instance, that the demographics alone will over time increase the debt to the portion that we will not be able to manage our own finances. That we're going to be so far in financial debt that our nation will collapse economically. Ferguson himself cites long-term predictions of China taking over America's greatest rule in economics, size and output. Now, they're predicting by the year 2027 or possibly 2040. Now, is that correct? Time will tell. But here again, predictions that America's economics will be taken over by communists nations. What if history was not cynical? Think about that. What if history was not cynical? At almost any possibility, was it that the nations could move slowly? Or could it also move rapidly, like a speeding car out of control? I think the answer is obvious. Just like a sports car speeding out of control, our nation is declining very rapidly and very quickly. The morals of our nation have declined considerably. We lead the world in abortion. Think about that. We lead the world in abortion. And God is very displeased with that. That's one of the collapses of our nation and why we are declining as we are as a nation. What if the collapse does not arrive over a number of centuries, but suddenly? What if our nation suddenly, tomorrow, let's use an example, tomorrow, the economic chaos of the nation overwhelms it to the point where it puts it into chaos. The nation collapses and is taken over by other foreign nations economically. Think about that. What if that happened overnight, suddenly? And he refers, and this is an interesting point because I want to use this point, like a thief in the night. It could happen very quickly, like a thief in the night. Well, let's refer to a thief in the night over in 1 Thessalonians. This is where it's referred to in the Bible. This is a biblical term. A thief in the night sounds very biblical, doesn't it? And it is, because it's over in 1 Thessalonians. Let's look at chapter 5. And here we're told to consider the times in 1 Thessalonians 5. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that you write that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And that's where that's referred to in the Bible, as a thief in the night. It says, for when they shall say peace and safety, which many people are saying within our nation, oh, we're going to recover from this economical chaos that we're going through right now. And perhaps we will. Because later on in my sermon, I do want to refer to possibilities. But, you know, as a nation, as we continue to watch our nation, it says, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. So the warning is there. The predictions are there. The Bible in prophecy predicts nations shall be taken over. But who is the individual that causes nations to rise and fall? I want you to think about that as well. Let's look at Daniel. Daniel chapter 2. And let's look at verse 20. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 20. Daniel answered, now this, he's answering the mysteries here. It says, as he answers, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. So Daniel's praising God and emphasizing the wisdom and might of God is his. And he changed the times and the seasons, and God can do that. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdoms unto the wise and knowledge unto those that know understanding. So it is God that has the ability to make nations rise and fall. And he will bless nations according to their deeds, and he will curse nations according to their deeds. And that's where a lot of the rising and the falling of the nations take place. Now I mentioned a thief in the night. Now I'm going to refer to that several times through this sermon today, because concerning the times, we have to be aware. Now a thief is not going to knock on your door and say, hello, I'm the local thief and I'm here to rob you. That's not how it works. A thief comes in the night because he's not visually seen, unless you have some kind of special camera to see him, video camera, security camera, then you might get him on tape. But the average individual thief will rob at night. So these events will take suddenly. The emphasis is suddenly. It will come unexpectedly. Nobody expects the thief to knock on our door and introduce himself and say, hi, I'm your local thief, and I'm here to rob you. That's not going to happen. What's going to actually happen is he's going to rob you at a time you least expect. A thief will. And so will the decline and fall of our nations. We live in the most prosperous nation in the world that ever existed. And to suddenly think that our nation is going to collapse economically to the point where we'll be throwing money into the streets, the values will have very little meaning, it will be worthless. Well, these are all predicted in the Bible. These are all events that will take place. Now, whether that will be our nation at the end time or other nations at the end time, there's a lot of things that are going to happen. There's a lot of prophecies that need to be fulfilled. And in the process of fulfillment of the prophecies, we will find that our nation will be affected, and we as individuals will be affected by these declining and falling of nations. What the Bible says about end time events will culminate to the day of the Lord. It applies to the sudden destruction and collapse of powerful nations. And who's the most powerful nation on the earth? The United States. And empires throughout history we can read about. Ferguson continues to say, look at the collapse of the Soviet Union. And that's something we, in our generation, we've experienced. We're going to read about some history generation, but we're also going to read about the Soviet Union, which many of us growing up as children can remember. Over a short period of 5 years, okay, within 5 years, from the time Mikhail Gorbachev became General Secretary of the Soviet Communist Party, it says, within a very short time, 5 years, they were one of the strongest powers. In fact, they had more nuclear weapons than the United States. And they were even considered greater than the United States at one time. It looked as if the Soviet Union would challenge America for many years to come. And everybody expected that. Now, our arch rival, if you want to term it that, will be the Soviet Union. Yet less than 5 years after Gorbachev took power, less than 5 years, the Soviet Union, centralized in Eastern Europe, had fallen apart, followed by the Soviet Union itself in 1991. Now, 1991 was 20 years ago. 20 years ago that happened. You say, wow. Where did the time go? I remember it collapsing and realizing, wow, that was a major event that took place back then. I remember Nixon, as well as Reagan, talking about the collapse of that time. 1991. If ever an empire fell, it fell quickly. The Soviet Union, within less than 5 years. Rather than slowly declining, as some people thought, now we all thought there would be issues. Now, will Russia rise again? There is indications in the Bible that they will, under a new form. So time will tell how that progresses. So that's why we need to be watching the events in the world and what's happening as the decline of nations take place, and including the United States. And it was interesting because it was founded by Lenin, the Soviet Union. Ferguson continues to emphasize that large complex systems can be turned upside down in a very short period of time. So again, he emphasizes large complex systems like the United States, which is very vast and complex, and becoming even more as we become a diverse nation, a multitude of nations within our own nation. It can be turned upside down in a very short order by the insertion of even one major event. One major event can turn the whole situation upside down. Now it talks about that. It says, other smaller, seemingly insignificant events can trigger a chain reaction leading to massive upheaval. One major event can cause massive upheaval. And I'm going to give you an example. Now, most of you will not know this individual. And if you do, I congratulate you, because I didn't even know the individual myself, even as I was preparing this. The assassination of Australian Archduke Franz Ferdinand. Okay, anybody remember him? You remember. Okay. Congratulations. Now, this was in June of 1914. Okay, June of 1914 was the fuse that lit the powder keg to World War I. The first major war that the world has ever experienced. World War I was fused by that assassination. So one assassination created a massive World War I. Imagine that. An assassination. Which totally caused quick events to outrace out of control. And if you read about the history of World War I, it was a worldwide conflict involving many, many nations. So one assassination of an individual created a worldwide conflict. We have the recent example of how the complex world economy went from boom to bust right here within our own nation. When a lot of Americans began to default on their mortgages. John can talk about that whenever he wants to. He knows the history of that probably. Because thousands of large financial institutions were set up to depend on performance of these loans. These individuals were granted money that they knew they probably would not be able to handle the finances, but they passed the loans through anyway. They suddenly found themselves quite near the brink of destruction economically. The reverberant brought down from Wall Street's financial houses laid percussions all the way across Europe and Asia. So even Europe and Asia felt the effects of that from here within the United States. The world's financial institution approached meltdown 1 week. In 1 week, it approached meltdown. That was in September of 2008. So that wasn't too long ago. Less than 3 years ago, we were on the brink of meltdown, financial meltdown. Now think about that. As a nation, we were on the brink of declining and falling as a nation within 1 week, it says. That's how quickly things can happen in a nation. The global economy is still recovering, and we're still struggling economically wise. Just ask anybody who's unemployed. Unemployment is one of the highest levels we've had for years. And when people are unemployed, of course, they can't meet their financial obligations, so the potentials of losing homes, losing everything they've worked for. And retirement funds have been depleted because the stock exchange, money was invested in the stock exchange. The stock exchange was up, down, up, down, up, down, 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 up, down, throughout the years. And anybody who invested retirement funds in the stock exchange lost hundreds and thousands and possibly even more money in the stock exchange. So again, the economic chaos affected each and every one of us in many different ways. And we all feel the effects of that. Events can turn the world upside down. Even Europe and Asia felt the effects of some of that. Ferguson continues to observe that the empires behave like complex additive systems. Now, I'm not sure what he meant by that, but he says they function in apparently equilibrium for some unknown period. So they were given the opportunity to continue to do and operate in this fashion. They function, and then for quite suddenly, abrupt, and then they collapse. And he's referring to the economics. This was suddenly, it says on page 32 of his article. It was a sudden collapse. Nobody 5 years ago had economic difficulties. Most people were paying their mortgages. Most people were working, and everything was fine. And people were having large savings in their retirement funds. But suddenly, within a very short time, all these collapses started taking place, and the declining of our nation continued to progress. What Ferguson and other historians typically leave out, and this is something that we are definitely aware of, they typically leave out of the discussion is what can be called the missing dimension, and that is the missing dimension in the hand of God. It is God that's allowed these things to happen. God allowed our nation to deal with the rising and the falling. And it is God that rises and falls nations and empires, as we read over in Daniel 2. And so these are things that we have to watch for as we progress with the fulfillment of prophecy. We know these events have to take place. We know Christ is going to return. But before Christ can return, there's going to be major shakeups in the world. And some of the shakeups is the rise and fall of nations. The Bible is a chronicle of ancient history that rose and fell of nations according to God's plan and purpose. It was God's plan and purpose for many of these nations to rise and fall. Nations like Egypt. Remember Egypt? When ancient Israel left Egypt, they were devastated. The plagues just destroyed Egypt. Assyria. Babylon, which I'll talk a little bit about. Persia, Greece, and Rome. All these powerful nations rose to extreme power and decline. All those are mentioned in the Bible, all those nations. They all played key roles, and they also interreacted with ancient Israel. If you recall, ancient Israel dealt with every one of these nations within the Bible. And the church that was founded by Jesus Christ also was interacted with these nations. Even today, the lessons of empires embedded in the Bibles applied as we watch the modern world towards move towards what Christ would say the end of the age. As Christ warned us, the end of the age, even today, the Bible refers to the modern empires that are existing, like United States and the EU, European Union, that's rising very quickly. That's a nation that's going to be one of the players, if you want to term it that, at the end time. So how close are we to the return of Jesus Christ? Well, watch the events. Watch what's happening in the world. Watch the economics that's taking place. The United States is no longer a financial power. The euro dollar has potential. Okay, I use that because right now it's struggling. But it has the potential to overtake the American dollar very quickly and rise to the extreme power that it will actually be one of the currencies that will be utilized at the end time. In the book of Daniel, which I want you to do a personal Bible study on the book of Daniel, because it talks about Babylon. And in the book of Daniel with the Babylon, it's one of the first empires, Babylon, to rise and fall with the times and power, especially with the fall of Jerusalem, which Daniel dealt with. That was at the time of his present age, which I find that to be very interesting. You know, we talk about our present age. Well, when individuals were in the Bible, they talked about their present age too, because that was their time. And he talks about, you know, Babylon and the empire. Daniel found that he was in the seat of the empire dealing with successful rulers, beginning with Nebuchadnezzar. So he saw the rise and fall of the Babylonian Empire. Especially with Nebuchadnezzar. Now, you all know the story about Nebuchadnezzar, how his power rose so greatly that he thought he was so great. It says about He had dreams. And of course, we know about the dreams. I'm not going to take the time because I just realized time is moving along quickly. This is a sermon, right? Okay. And his dream was interpreted by Daniel. And in the interpretation, of course, he said there's going to be a rising in power of a nation, but it's going to be a mixed multitude. It's interesting that mixed multitude is used several times in the Bible in reference to nations. And it won't be, it'll be strong at first, but then it will have weaknesses. And we're looking at the Europe market right now. It's very complex. The nation is almost, Europe is almost divided. England does not want to do the euro, and yet they're part of the economic group, but they don't want to accept the euro. Germany, who seems to be the power and behind this movement, is going to try to enforce the euro. They're already talking about their military power ready to take place. Okay, so they've got a military of, I think I heard 40 million men ready at the call and beckoning. So they're forming a tremendous, powerful nation. And yet, when you read the paper, or if you watch the news, you get very little information about what's happening over in Europe. Unless you subscribe to some of the European newspapers, the British paper, which gives you a lot of information, or watch the British news, we have no idea what's happening over there. Our nation is going to be lulled asleep like a thief in the night, suddenly overtaken and realizing that there's a powerful nation that's going to rise up. And even some of our leaders encourage it. They want to have a one world power, and they're trying to encourage that to be fulfilled. Many of them are even encouraging our people to help participate by purchasing euro dollars to help strengthen the nation that possibly will destroy our nation economically. Again, these are interesting facts. When we think about our nation and Babylon, we mentioned about Babylon. Here is a crucial first principle to understand what world events can be done. God determines the courses of all nations. It is God who determines the courses of all nations. He can set up and remove a leader when he wants to. And perhaps that's why that individual back in 1914 was assassinated, because he knew that it was that time for the world to experience one of the greatest world events that ever happened, World War I. It wasn't the only one. It continued. But clearly, he is involved in seeing all the prophecies that need to be fulfilled, that they will be fulfilled according to his time. He has given about various nations, the world at large, to be fulfilled. So our destiny will be fulfilled. Our nation, which started as a very simple nation, rose in power, as well as Babylon, found itself facing God's prophetic warning. And we can read about that over in Daniel 5. I'm not going to refer there, but Belshazzar made a great feast, if you remember. And suddenly, while they were enjoying this event, the Persian army was mounting outside, ready to overtake them. And eventually Persia took over the nation. And the king was eventually killed. And that nation was overthrown very quickly that night. So again, as a thief in the night, it came that quickly. Daniel refers to also former Nebuchadnezzar, as we referred to, that he had learned through his experiences with God the fact that the Most High God rules in the nations and with men. And he had to go out and eat grass like an animal. He was humbled very quickly because he thought he was so proud and that he was so accomplishment in what he was able to accomplish. And it was God that gave him that authority and that power. But God quickly took it away from him. As you can read that about that as well. Daniel refers to that. And it is God who chooses kingdoms to rise and fall. It is God who judges the time and empire will allow to persist and when it is time to end. God knows when our nation will decline and fall. We can speculate, we can watch the signs of the times, we can assume it could be within our lifetime, it may be within our younger generation's lifetime. Many of us are getting well into our years, and we've seen many changes take place within our nation. It's going to happen. It's just a matter of time and when God allows that time to occur. The sad thing is, the problem was that virtually all great nations that rise and fall through history, they eventually fail to worship God. They fail to acknowledge God as the great provider. They assume that they accomplished everything through their might, their abilities, their capabilities, their finances, their achievements. They take credit. They don't give credit to God. And they turn from God. Almost every nation turns eventually from God. And what do they practice? Well, idolatry. They worship God that is not God. I find it unique in many ways. Our nation professes God. Okay, they give a lip service to God. But they serve the wrong God because they have turned from the true God and the true ways. The problem remains with us continuing even today. Our nation is a complex nation. We don't just have Christians within our nation. We have a multitude of religious groups. And they have changed and altered the foundation of our Constitution, that we've lost a lot of our freedoms. I mentioned about the Sabbath. The Sabbath in some countries are now being told that the individuals must work 6 days a week. Sunday is your day of worship. Sunday is your day that you can go and rest. Saturday is a work day, and if you don't work, you will be put in jail. Now, this is already starting to happen. Now, as it progresses across the nations and one world rule government takes place, perhaps that will be the test of each and every one of us. Will we keep the Sabbath or will we work? When one individual mentioned to me one time, when the police come to your door and knocks on your door and says, "Are you a Sabbath keeper?" Will you say, "Yes, I am," or "I was a Sabbath keeper"? That will be one of the tests that many of us will experience, perhaps. Will we remain faithful to the end? We have to endure to the end while our nation starts declining and falling apart. Well, brethren, we need to pray for our nation. We need to pray for our nation that if it is God's will, that His kingdom will be fulfilled in its proper time. And if it's for our nation to decline, we have to go through that. It's just part of the prophecies. But we can ask for protection in dealing with adversities. And as our nations and our freedoms are taken away from us, and they will eventually be taken more and more, little by little, till eventually our nation will not be founded on the foundations that our nation once was. It'll be actually founded on ways contrary to God's ways. We'll suddenly realize that we will be separated within our own country. Okay? We will find ourselves perhaps isolated. We will be little islands within our own little country. And persecution will occur from perhaps even within our own family members. The Bible says, father against son and mother against daughter, husbands against wives, wives against husbands. These are prophecies that the Bible says will happen. Hopefully, we will trust in God for protection. Whatever happens in the future, we understand. The times ahead will be very difficult. If our nation collapses and we are within our nation at that time, we seek that there will probably be a place of safety, but we don't know where that is. There's speculation as to where the place of safety is. The Bible talks about a place of safety. And we know God can protect His people. We just have to trust in God in whatever form that God sees and whatever needs to be done. But you know, again, just like in Babylon, the very night the Persians captured Babylon and the king was killed, as a power, Babylon ended at that night. That's how quickly it ended. And the same can happen for our nation. The traditions were suddenly like a thief in the night. How quickly it came for them. What about modern day Babylon to rise and fall? In the Bible, the name Babylon refers to more than just this ancient city of Babylon. It is also referred to describe a religious and political system that's coming. Okay, It traces its roots back to pagan Babylon. So this is a rising power that's coming, and it traces its roots back to Babylon. And interesting, because it is also based on religious and political system. So it's a combination of political and religious. Okay, so it's going to appear, and it's going to deceive many people. Many people are going to think this is the return of kingdom. And it's interesting, the kingdom of God, we read about in the Bible, some people think the kingdom of God is going to be this powerful nation that's going to be set up. And it's going to be governed by the return of the Antichrist. And of course, they don't call it the Antichrist. They think it's going to be an actual Christ himself. And many individuals will fall prey to this powerful nation, the mystery Babylon the Great, that will be classified the mother of harlots, as we refer to in Revelation. And so the Bible tells us about this. This is going to happen. We're told in advance. We can prepare ourselves and say, okay, these events are going to happen. We can watch as they take place. And we don't have to be deceived. We don't have to get confused and say, well, is this or isn't this the kingdom of God? We know what the kingdom of God is. We know the true kingdom of God and what it will be about. While this system will impact the entire world, that is, when it reaches its peak, it's going to affect the entire world. There are signs that it will be weak in its foundation. As we mentioned, how Daniel talks about the feet of clay and the brass, and it goes down about the mighty powers. You read about that over in Daniel. But over in Revelation 17, let's turn to Revelation 17. Revelation 17, and let's look at verse 16. And I'm going to just break into this area. Again, you can read about it. Many of us study the prophecies of the coming powerful nation that will be rising. It says, "And the ten horns which you saw upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and they shall make her desolate and naked, and eat her flesh, and burn her with fire." So she's not going to be a strong nation. She eventually will be weakened, and it will be overtaken. Just like the powerful nations that rise and fall, this nation too will fall. It'll be aligned at the end time. Babylon's prophecy calls it a beast. That's interesting. And that term has been used over in Europe very liberally. The beast will turn the system symbolically by a fallen woman, it refers to over here in Revelation. It talks about our plagues to come in one day. Death, mourning, famine. For in one hour, she'll be judged. So that's how quickly she will rise. And she will have powerful influence on the world, even to the point where people will commit suicide to avoid being part of the system. And yet, it'll be short-lived. It'll be a very short time. Once again, judgment will come quickly and unexpectedly. She don't think her power is going to be destroyed. She don't think her nation will collapse. When she's at its peak. If anything, she's going to cause persecution because of the religious. I mentioned political and religious. The religious will rise above the political, and there'll be persecution by this nation. And yet, it will fall quickly, just like all the other predictions in the Bible it refers to. It will fall and collapse quickly. Like ancient Babylon, it will fall in one night, like a thief in the night, very quickly. And that can be encouraging for us, because we realize that when that happens, Jesus Christ will return and become King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the final nation that really, truly will rise and remain will be the kingdom of God. And we will have the opportunity to be part of that. So Christ warns us not to get caught up in the affairs of this world. That we are to live in the world, but not be like the world. We are to be different. We are going to have to endure perhaps persecution. Perhaps we will have someone knock on our door. And perhaps brothers will turn against brothers and sisters against sisters. Perhaps we may experience that. We don't know. It says in the Bible that it will happen. Let's pray that we can encourage one another to hold on to the values, the teachings that we've been taught, to endure to the end. We have to endure to the end. These times are coming, brethren. And I don't want to scare anyone, but I want you to realize God loves his people, and it is his desire that we all be in his kingdom. And that we can be in his kingdom, we have to endure to the end, though. And all these things will take place. But it's like going through a tunnel. If you've ever gone through a tunnel, you start at the very beginning, you think, wow, this is a long tunnel. I remember on the turnpike, I think there's 4 tunnels on the turnpike. You go through the first one, it's short. You go through the next 2, it seems like you're going through forever. And then the last one. Well, when you first start through the tunnel, it gets very dark. And that's what we're probably going to face in the next few years ahead. It'll start getting dark. And the trials and the problems that will arise upon our nation, that will cause our nation to decline and fall, will take place. But as we get further through these trials and these problems, we can see the end of the tunnel. And the end of the tunnel is the kingdom of God. And when we see the bright light as you come through the tunnel, if you've ever gone through the tunnel, I encourage you to go through that. It's pretty neat because they have it illuminated inside, so it's kind of like lighted. But it's still dark. And as you come through the tunnel, especially on a beautiful sunny day I've gone through already, you come right out to the end and boom, the bright sunlight. Well, that's what the kingdom's going to be like. After all these events take place and all the turmoils, all the nations will be destroyed, and Jesus Christ will set up his government here on the earth. And the kingdom of God will be established, and we will have the opportunity of serving and reigning in the kingdom. It'll be like the brightness of the sun shining brightly. In fact, he's referred to as brightness of the sun. It's just like coming through the tunnel. And all things will be renewed. We read about that in Revelation. Again, I want to encourage you. Yes, the days ahead will be difficult. But we can encourage, just like Lee mentioned, we can be encouraging to one another. We can help one another and be there for each other to encourage and help when these days come, because they will come. Christ says that they're coming. We're living in normal times right now. In fact, these are probably the best times that we can experience, because the times ahead will be very difficult. Our younger generation will say, well, why does it have to happen in my time? Why can't it happen in someone else's time? Well, it's going to be someone's time. We can all wish it was somebody else's time. When it happens, it's going to happen. When it happens, it will be revealed. But we're told to take heed to ourselves, lest we get weighed down by the events that take place in our lives. And I mentioned about sometimes economically with our nation, there's a lot of financial troubles, people unemployed, people losing their homes. But you know, there's a lot of people that aren't. When we look at gas prices, there are people making money. There are people getting rich at the expense of our nation. And these individuals perhaps are weighed down by the wealth that they're possessing. They're drunken by the cares of this world. The Bible warns us to be careful not to get drunken by the cares of this world. And that if we're not careful, the day will come upon us unexpectedly, like a thief in the night, very quickly. And it will destroy many people's faith when they see these events take place. Many people will think this is the end of the world. They have no understanding of what's going on. They don't understand about the plan of God. They don't know what takes place. And people will lose faith. Even those, even the very elect can be deceived into worshiping a false system and getting caught up in it. And we have to be careful not to allow ourselves to get caught up. It's easy to do so. You know, we work day to day. Sometimes we work longer hours than we probably should at times. Sometimes we make bad decisions, whether it's economically or whatever. And it costs us. And we have to pay the penalty sometimes in the process. But you know, we have to realize that we can't allow ourselves to get caught up in the system, in this world. We are looking forward to another kingdom that will be established. And that is the kingdom of God that will be coming. Once again, we see the warning events that will occur quickly, like a thief in the night. Nathal Ferguson observes in his article about the decline and fall of nations, and he supports that both history and biblical prophecy, which it's interesting, this individual believes in biblical prophecy, that there is a difference. Okay, there is a difference. Ferguson and the most modern historians focus on the demographics and the economic factors, and yet he does acknowledge biblical prophecy, he doesn't necessarily look to God as the answer. Okay? So he knows that the Bible prophecies are there, and he acknowledges them, but he doesn't look to God as the answer. He leaves the spiritual mention of God out of the equation. And yet we know that is the end time equation result, is that Jesus Christ will come back to earth to restore, to correct, and to bring his government, which will bring peace and joy and happiness, which we all look forward to and being a part of. So the problem of idolatry, we mentioned about earlier, the problem of worshiping other gods as a nation now, the problems that economics turn us away from our true God, these will continue to occur. But Nebuchadnezzar had to learn it the hard way. King Nebuchadnezzar, he ended up like an animal out grazing in the field. So some people have to learn things the hard way. Will we? Will we allow ourselves to get caught up in the systems that will be coming and allow ourselves to fall? Well, again, I think Lee's sermonette was very encouraging, and I appreciate that, Lee, that we do have each other. When we get down, and sometimes problems occur and we get discouraged, we have each other to encourage us and hang in there. Keep doing the right thing. God will bless us. And in the end, we do win, like Mr. Armstrong told us one time. In the end, we do win. And that's something we can look forward to. But the high pride, boasting, as Nebuchadnezzar did, our nation boasts of its great power. I've heard individuals say, this nation can never be destroyed, I heard one individual said. And just like the Titanic, the boat that said could not be sunk, but that went down very quickly too. And just like this individual who predicts that our nation could never be destroyed, is in for a rude awakening, like a thief in the night. Scripture says that for 7 years, as I mentioned, Nebuchadnezzar was, even his body changed, became like an eagle, bird, feathers, claws, and his finger nails. And as we look at an individual who is able to change that much, we too, we can turn from God, and we too can find ourselves turning drastically different. And I've heard individuals say, I would never forsake the Sabbath. I would never give up the Sabbath, the holy days. And yet now I know individuals personally that are no longer keeping the Sabbath and the holy days. So, yes, we can get caught up in the transition, in the changes. The words of the prophets, including Jesus Christ, teach us that the critical lessons we need to learn and understand why nations can suddenly collapse when the normal signs say otherwise. We look at our nation and say, hey, I got money in the bank, I got a car, I got a house, I got everything, I got a family. Hey, what's the problem? Yeah, you have a lot of physical things, but we've lost the spiritual things, what our nation was founded on, the nation was founded on. And it still appears as our nation is very strong. And as I mentioned, if we read the newspapers and we watch the news, we're not in tune of what's happening in the world. Now, yeah, world weather conditions are showing signs, and that's one of the predictions and the prophecies in the Bible we read about over in Matthew. Events that will take place, the world will seem like it's turning upside down. Floods, tornadoes, earthquakes, they're going to get greater and greater and more. And these are some of the signs that we can watch for over in Matthew. Read Matthew 24 and some of the signs. I'm not going to take the time right now. But when we read about religious deception, that's one of the first signs. And so when we watch the nations rising, the powers rising, and our nation declining, we have to be careful with religious deception. That's one of the ones that's going to take place. This is why the present state of the world in America and its roles as the world is so critical. We're at a critical point in time. Since the end of World War II, America has been the defender of the world. Whenever there was catastrophes, we were one of the first ones to rise up and support nations and help them out economically with physical blessings of clothing and food and a variety of other needs. What's going to happen when our nation starts declining and collapsing? Will the other nations rise up and support us and encourage us and help us and provide for our needs? It does not appear. Even ones that we question, will Europe, with its mighty power, will England be part of that? Our brother from England? I don't think so. I think the times are going to show that England will also be part of the decline of nations. I think we'll just have to wait and see. And as the fulfillment is fulfilled, we may be surprised. And then again, God knows the times and the seasons and when things will rise and things will fall. The United States Navy has kept the sea lanes of the world open for commerce. Its armies have fought terrorism in the world. And we did that. And we continue to fight terrorism. But when the United States is not there to fight terrorism, what's going to happen? Who's going to stand in our place? These are questions that will be answered and will be fulfilled as time progresses. We have no idea who that will be. What about North Korea and Iran with nuclear weaponry just within their grasp? Will they have the power to destroy the world? I think they will. Will they? No. Because Jesus Christ will intervene in behalf of mankind. And this world will not be destroyed. America's rising debt will one day perhaps be the reason why our nation declines and falls. It will retreat from history as the greatest nation. Now that's a doomsday prophecy, some people say, but it is a fulfillment. And when that day arrives, it will be like a thief in the night. Think about that. It will come like a thief in the night. So brethren, what are we to do? What are we to do when the day comes that America and English-speaking nations will no longer be the power in control, but nations like Europe, with the European market, will be the world power, and China, with its massive armies, will be an end-time prophecy, the powerhouse at the end time? The days will be darker as we progress, but remember, it's like going through the tunnel. We have to start. We have to go through the dark period, and it's going to be difficult, but we have each other to encourage one another. We have the ability to endure to the end. We have God's Holy Spirit, and that is what's going to help us to achieve the success that we look forward to. Brethren, these days are the best days that we will probably experience. Each passing day will probably get progressively worse. It says it'll get so bad, it'll be sometimes even considered worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. Is that within our own nation? Probably, because we lead the nation in abortion. So if that's not getting to the point of worse than Sodom and Gomorrah, we're getting there quickly. Our nation is a very complex nation. And as Europe rises and the United States declines and falls, let's pray for our nation. Does that mean the United States will fall apart and will never exist again? Well, in the Bible, it talks about Nineveh. Remember Nineveh? It was a nation that was evil, and God was going to destroy it. And they repented, and they changed. And God forgave them of their sins. Can our nation do that? Yes, it can. Will it? We don't know. The prophecies don't seem to show that it will happen. It can. God's willing to forgive any nation if they're willing to repent and change. But will our nation? I think because of the diversity of our nation and the morality that we have gone to, the fulfillment of the prophecies will probably be fulfilled according to God's time and will. But again, the encouraging factor when it's all said and done is we will look forward to the return of Jesus Christ. And the true government, the true nations that will have the opportunity in the kingdom of God, that is where the true government of righteousness will reign. Jesus Christ will reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he will have the power to overthrow all nations, and he will set up the proper government that Jesus Christ and God the Father wants. And we will have the opportunity, the righteous opportunity of being part of that. So brethren, yes, the days will be hard, and yes, we have each other to encourage. We have the Holy Spirit to see us through. Let's pray that those days will be shortened, that will come quickly as a thief in the night, and then the government will come and we will rejoice together.